Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
What?
Why don't you trust Jews?
I don't know. I think the whole Schindler thing was a myth. I think it was propaganda. I looked it up. There's no guy named Schindler.
Are you sure you're South Korean?
I'm kind of North.
Kind of North?
I'm half North.
Half?
Yeah. The good side. The party side. You know, we party.
Really?
Well, did you guys know that in North Korea, a lot of their, they have meth labs.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
And the people work at these meth labs, and they get, you know what their compensation is?
What?
Meth. Which is great. Genius,
yeah.
Actually.
I mean, it's like if you work at a Nike store, you get free Nike stuff.
Yeah, but the meth helps them work more.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Nikes aren't going to help you work more. What, are you running around?
Maybe,
I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then what they do is they put all the meth in a ship. And they ship it to the Philippines first.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like all these black market people and stuff like that. But apparently it's prime meth.
And have you ever done meth?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. I mean, when I was younger, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what truck drivers survive on, right?
Yeah, but they don't get North Korean meth. They get like
Bakersfield meth.
Yeah, Bakersfield or North Dakota meth or whatever.
Which is probably still pretty good.
Yeah, moonshine meth. But I mean,
when you say it like that, that sounds like a hip after-hours bar.
But if you, it does. But if you do meth, my recommendation is you don't masturbate.
Don't masturbate on meth?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
There's no end in sight.
So you way.
Just yeah, it's a never-ending story. It's a never-ending story.
That's the literally. Real never-ending story.
Yeah, that's the real one. Well, I mean, you can't come. And then you start thinking like porn doesn't help. Wow. So you start thinking of like twisted things, like,
and then you don't want to go down that
one breast Google one leg
stitches. Oh jeez.
You know, like crazy shit.
One breast one leg was the prequel to Two Girls One Cup.
yeah And then 12 hours later you're masturbating just a foot a severed foot, you know, and it's like,
you're like, oh man, thank God it's just a foot and nothing's attached to it.
Meth is no good.
That would ruin it.
What were the high points of it though? No pun intended, but I mean, like, what about it made you go, oh yeah, this feeling is pretty.
You have a feeling of euphoria that's unlike anything else. You want to go. You want to do a bunch of things.
Gotcha.
You know, wow. I want to build a gazebo. I want to climb Mount Everest, and you really believe you're going to do those things.
Wow.
You but plan then, it. You write it down first.
But then you just don't end up doing it.
You don't leave the couch.
Oh, because you're on meth.
Yeah.
Do you build a gazebo?
Well, it's all planning.
On the couch?
It's 12 hours of planning.
Now, do you negotiate with your brain and you go, all right, I want to build a gazebo, but I don't want to leave the couch. So I'll get a puzzle.
Yeah.
And put together
maybe there's some of that going on.
A puzzle that looks like a gazebo.
Maybe that's how the Jews do it.
Well, we were going to build
it. You guys love puzzles, though. Yeah, you guys love them.
That is a stereotype I didn't know was true about Jews.
Jews love puzzles.
Jews love puzzles.
They're not good at it.
No, we're terrible. We're impatient.
Like, how do we escape this prison? this spontaneous thing. What do they call them?
Temple?
No, the when the Germans did
the camps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you ever go to camp?
Not that camp.
Like Korean camp.
No, but I went to a place
or summer camp.
No, I went to a camp where for bad kids.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, and we had to hike from, we had Mammoth to Yosemite Park.
How long is that hike?
It's a long time, like a week.
And what were you doing that got you sent to this camp?
Meth. Not being real, meth.
It all for ties real? Back in. And then, so like, did your family find out you were doing meth and they sent you to the camp?
Well, I went to rehabs too, back then. Yeah. When do we start?
We're going.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't want to open up with meth.
We did. That's how we open every podcast.
Oh, with meth?
Yeah.
What, you don't introduce me? This is weird.
No, we just go straight meth talk.
Oh, really? It's meth talk.
That's the name of the show.
With Brad and Adam?
Yeah. And it's rare because we both haven't done it. So it's great.
But at the end of the show, one of us does.
Yeah. Look at how Brad looks different because he's making money now.
What?
No, he just looks cleaner. He almost looks normal size. You know what I mean? It's like...
You grew,
you grew like a foot.
Oh right? Man, When I go back to those dwarf meetings, they're like, "You've changed, man. What's wrong with you?" I grew 2 inches. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but it's just his skin is different.
Well, he's
his
married
finger,
now.
I know his fingers are clean. Everything about his clothes are. Look at the brand new shirt. You know, it's just like it's
Calvin
ridiculous.
Klein
he's
too. Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, is that how much of that is the wife interjecting on your skin?
Oh, that's pretty much all of it. Because I'm a disgusting individual. But she wants to when I go out with her, she wants to make sure that I'm somewhat presentable. It's like, well, I'm gonna need like another 2 feet to be presentable, you know, just to not be completely weird. But
you used to have a Dave Attell kind of like vibe about you.
Boogity.
Yeah, just a little grungy.
What do you mean, Bobby?
That's very good.
A vibe that, like, maybe he wore the
There
same
was a
shirt.
Puddle I had to swim in.
Yeah. But, like, now you're more Bill Burrish, I guess.
Bill Burrish. I will take that. I will take any comparison to Bill Burr. What's in that vape pen, Matt?
Can you turn that off?
Yeah, Katie.
It's really distracting me.
Yeah. And what's in that pen?
I quit smoking 9 months ago, so these are called Juuls, and I just carried, like, 15 of them around my pocket because I just want to...
Yeah, because...
I quit smoking, and these saved my life.
Oh, that's right.
Dude, congratulations, man.
Well, that was a little late for the applause. I said it 5 times.
That's a big fucking deal.
Yeah. So I quit smoking. Clap. Thank you. Feels good. Thank you.
I just saw a commercial today, a claymation guy walking through, and he was like, I know the signs. I know the way my face looks. I know the way it makes people feel. He's like, but I just can't do it. And then he like walks away, and then it's like, call 1-800-NO-BUTTS.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was like really, I mean, why do you think, cigarettes commercials are the only ones that really like cut at the core and try to, you know, there's that one with the woman where she's, she like smokes through the hole in her neck and she's like, I used to be prom queen.
Yeah.
You know, I used to fucking invest in a, you know, in Toys R Us, you know, I used to have 4 boyfriends and now, you know, now they fuck my hole in my neck, you know, it's,
Canada's even worse. Like on the packages, there's like, you know, it says warning, and then they have show a corpse of a dead black guy who smoked for 80 years.
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah, they do that, or like they show the lungs.
Yeah.
They'll have a picture of a smoker's lung. Be like, hey, just so you know, this is gonna happen to you.
What did it for you?
He went to Canada.
Oh, I was in. No, I was in.
He found that.
I was in.
Start smoking.
I was in Salt Lake City.
Uh huh.
And I was on stage, and I just couldn't breathe. And I know it was the what do you call it?
Elevation.
Yeah, what do you call it when you're high up?
Yeah, altitude.
Altitude is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But I literally couldn't breathe; like I was passing out. It was because of the smoking and the altitude.
Wow.
And then I got off stage. I barely made through it, and I just said, "But I still smoked. I smoked a pack that night."
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't stop.
But then that's when you add.
But then I ran into a chink. I ran into a chink.
Bobby Lee said that word. I just want everyone to know that.
This is a little female chink.
This is the beginning of one of my favorite knock knock jokes of all time.
And her name is Awkwafina.
Yes, that's real.
Wait, is
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. She's a big.
She's a big chink. Big chink. And Ching Chong is what I call it. Like it and her flat face was like staring at me. And she was like, Bob. No, but she was smoking. She was at my house. She was smoking a Juul. And I knew her as a cigarette smoker.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Juul when I'm smoking.
Gotcha. Yeah, the thing that
and
looks
go,
like
what
the
a, fuck is that? And she goes,
looks like a flash
this
drive.
Saved my life. Bobby, I took a drag of it. And it was pretty, not similar to a cigarette, but the closest thing that
you've had.
Yeah. And then
you've tried other things, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she gave me one of hers. She had two. And then I just quit that day.
Holy shit.
Well, congratulations, man. Have you noticed changes already?
Like, well, I gained weight. I gained like 15 pounds.
Okay.
So I've been eating a lot. And then I'm getting liver spots. I don't know what that's about. I have little spots on my face.
Okay. I think,
is that just a Korean thing?
What do you mean? I don't like the way you said that.
I'm trying to get to know your culture.
I don't know shit about my culture, bro. You think I know anything about my fucking culture, bro? The one thing I know is meth in the north. Meth in the north, right? And I don't even know what the fuck we do in the south. That's where we're from. You're so dumb, dude.
Meth in the north, golf in the south.
Yeah.
Female golfers in the south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very good.
Yeah.
How often are you... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, South Koreans own the LPGA Tour. I don't know why I know that
Do
fact.
They really? Who's the main guy?
Oh, they're women.
Oh.
LPGA.
But the thing about, you have to say this about Koreans, and I'm not a big, I don't like to tout.
Yeah.
But for being half a peninsula,
yeah,
mm-hmm. we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Samsung. Big no, listen, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Hyundai. Right?
Is that Korean or Japanese?
It's Korean.
Okay.
Okay. We're the number one in cloning technology.
Are you really?
Not me. I don't know anything about it. But, if you want to get your pet cloned.
Didn't Barbara Streisand get her dog cloned?
Yeah, they do it in Korea.
Wow.
Is that where she went to get it? To get
it in Korea.
Wow. Is it how close? Are they cloning just pets or is it?
Yeah. I have a theory that I'm pretty sure they can clone humans.
We're probably pretty close.
I think they can do it.
Someone probably has the ooze or the key.
They're never going to do it because it's just so...
No, it's too dangerous. So,
not that... Well, is it dangerous? It's not dangerous. It's just... I don't know. I think Christians would freak the fuck out. Religious people. Well, because if we could create man, then what is God then?
Yeah, Christians would figure out. They'd be like, what?
Like, we're creating humans now.
The same gay dude in my neighborhood. Again.
Yeah.
Well, now if we could bring back, like, if we can clone five dead people.
Yeah.
Who would you clone?
Oh, man. For me or for the world? Those are two different things.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Okay, well, for me, I would probably clone Patrice O'Neill.
Okay.
I just think that he died too soon. Probably all comics.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Cleopatra for no reason.
Yeah. Well, that just
for Ahmed. I would do it for Ahmed. So you can find a life partner.
Yeah.
He would love Cleopatra.
He would love her.
Yeah. And she's in, according to all the texts, she's like a once in a lifetime beauty.
Yeah.
That's what everyone said about her.
Yeah. And since he lives out there now.
Does he really? Where?
Does Ahmed Ahmed
live in the Middle East? He's in the Middle East somewhere.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Decided to go there.
Do you know who the top Koreans are?
In what?
Anything. I just Googled because I wanted to. You were saying all these. You started listing Samsung.
Yeah, I don't know who the best.
Who Yuna Kim is?
Oh, Yuna, yes, that's my cousin. Want me to call her right now, you fuckface?
Sad part is if you stayed true to that, we would absolutely have believed
you.
She's a figure skater.
Yeah,
and then Park Ji Sung is a footballer.
I know. Oh, dude, Park Ji Sung is a legend.
Really?
He played for Manchester United. He was the captain of the national Korean team. But the thing about Park Ji Sung Park is what people call him.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Is that he played for Man U under Alex Ferguson, which is he was a legendary. He was the
soccer manager,
coach for Man U.
Yeah,
and Park wasn't that. Skilled, but what he did, why they used him a lot was his work rate. He never stopped running. And I find that that's a very good Korean trait.
Now you're wearing.
Never stop.
Now you're wearing a soccer team.
A Bayern Munich shirt
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that.
It's not the team that I support now.
Okay. Who's your favorite football team?
Arsenal FC.
Arsenal.
And they were terrible. So that's it.
But they were good.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know who Big Bang is? They're a boy band.
No.
Okay. Do you know who Go Hyun Jung is? She's an actress.
No.
Lee Seung Gi.
No.
When is Bobby Lee gonna come up on that list?
Do it. Kang Ho Dong is a comedian.
Yeah, I'll never be on that list. I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
When I went to Korea, they treated me like I was a fucking busboy at a fucking restaurant.
No.
Really?
Everywhere I went. Yeah.
Now is that because you're
no one knows me over there.
Okay.
They don't give a fuck about American nothing.
Okay, so who's
Ken Jeong, who's John Cho, who's, no, they would not know.
Wow.
Steven Yeun.
But they know who.
You don't watch Walking Dead? They go, no. They only like Koreans.
Okay, like Koreans from Korea.
Yeah.
But they know Kim Tae-hee. The actress?
Who's that?
Exactly. But they probably know.
Yeah, because that bitch lives in that, that little chink, that chink, that chink lives in Korea. Yeah. I've never heard you say chink before.
No.
Say it. It's okay. Let me. Being Asian,
yeah,
I'm allowing you to say these words.
Okay.
So I'm gonna just say I'm gonna give you a sentence.
Great.
And you have
that
to commit.
It more fun.
Yeah, it's fun. All right.
Now it's like a Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Racist Mad Libs.
Okay. That would be a best-selling book.
Okay. Here's the sentence.
Okay. This is the sentence. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna rip that.
Okay. No. I'm out.
No. Just do it. You have to do it.
Can I get a new?
No.
Sentence?
You. No. This is it. I'm gonna rip that.
Wait, let's treat this like a spelling bee, okay? I'm coming up to the podium.
No, let's treat this like
a... My word is...
This is a Scorsese movie, all right? And I'm...
Where I play a spelling bee contestant.
No. And no, you're playing a racist in this movie, right? God. I know, and if this is not you, okay. I wrote the script.
Okay.
Right? You're just an actor.
Yeah, I am an actor.
Okay.
I can do that.
All right. I'm gonna rip that flat face, slope, ching chong gook face off your fucking body.
The word was never even in there.
I know.
All right.
Say it.
Now, Bobby, do you want to, should I do it all to her or should I do it with my eyes closed? Because in the script it says looks right at her. But I don't know, like...
Yeah, you look right at me.
Part of me, I feel like when you think about doing something destructive, you almost visualize it as you're saying it.
All right, go.
Okay. I'm going to give myself some music.
That was holding him back.
Yeah.
Wait, so now I'm curious, what kind of music puts you in the racist state of mind? Like, it's like German industrial metal? What is it?
Yeah.
Blind melon.
Yeah, because at least this way it'll offset what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So no, like,
well, let me
fun,
get,
nin- no, fun 90s.
Let me do my line, and that leads into your line.
Okay. Because now it sounds like a trailer for romantic comedy.
Yeah. Happy birthday, sir.
I want to rip your flat face off of your gooky ass body, you dirty little shit. This fall, following Splitting Up Together on ABC, comes a new comedy.
That was fun. What a great scene. Wow. I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
When they are discussing, will Adam Ray have the lead role in this Disney Channel show?
Yeah.
They'll go back to this moment.
Yeah. I might just snippet that little section out and just, just ruin your life.
Have you ever gotten anything script-wise or direction-wise that you've been like, oh, I can't do that? Because you might be one of the most fearless comedian actors.
No. I would do every... Yeah. They would literally go, I'm not even kidding you. Suck Ed Norton's dick. And I'd be like, it's not in the script. And they're like, yeah, I know, but we're ad-libbing. Okay. Action. And then I'll just do it.
On action or look him in the eyes? And
Yeah. We'll rehearse first in his hotel room. Okay. No, I'm being real. I mean, I will do anything.
Yeah. So, like, when you were on NCIS recently,
yeah,
that's LL Cool J, Chris O'Donnell. So if they said, have like a be in the middle of their wobbly H.
Mm. What does that mean?
That means a three-way London Bridge.
Okay, first of all, I cannot imagine that, because I've been on the show a couple times.
Okay.
I can't imagine those two ever allowing that to happen.
Okay.
But if in that scenario,
yeah,
maybe not. It has to be a movie, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it has to be a movie, and it has to be something like, you know, directed by some big guy.
So if it's your part in What Would Diplo Do?
No.
On Amazon?
No.
You're not going to do anything to Diplo?
No.
Okay.
No, because that's James Vanderbeek. Vanderbeek plays Diplo on that show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that. That's a TV show. If it was Scorsese, though?
Yeah.
Or it was like Tarantino?
Spielberg. What if Spielberg was like, suck this raptor's dick in Jurassic Park 7?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not even real. It's like CGI dick.
Yeah, but they get an actor. But Spielberg is like super method.
Yeah.
He has the guy who played Gollum.
It's LL Cool J.
He goes, it's the closest thing to a raptor dick we could find.
It says large as a raptor's dick.
LL Cool J's nickname is Raptor Dick. So
yeah, I will probably do it.
Wait, how much did you get to improvise on your new show? Splitting Up Together.
Zero.
Which premieres?
Zero.
Today on ABC, because it's going to come out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Right, March 27th?
Yeah, it comes out March 27th, which is today. Yeah. And is it, when does this air? Like in the day?
After, yeah, it'll be before the show. It comes on.
So it's after Roseanne.
Wow.
Good lead-in.
What?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and stars... Jenna
it matters,
Fisher.
It matters, though, the show that leads.
Here's what it is, dude. Yeah. Here's what it is. And I don't want to be, and I'm driving people crazy, but I don't want to, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Okay. But you know how it is.
Yeah. You've been in this business.
I mean, you thought little thing Mad TV was going to do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it fizzled away.
Yeah.
And you have all these, you know, expectations and dreams.
You have to, by the way. You have to go into it thinking that it...
No, you don't. You do what I'm doing.
Stay completely
negative.
Neutral.
No, you
lower your expectations.
You know, you foresee every terrible outcome. I think it's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to manifest it, but I'm preparing myself for every horrible outcome.
Isn't that so crazy that that's what this business kind of does to you? It just breaks you down over time to where now you almost have no hope.
There's no hope.
Where it's like you don't want to, like your first couple shows, you're like, oh my god, here it goes. I'm gonna be a star right now.
Yeah,
and then those get canceled, so you're just like, well, all right.
Yeah, and for me, it's
and even if you're on a great show,
yeah, the pain is that I always have to wait in line. So when something like this gets canceled, I'm not like I've never had a run like. Like Ken Jeong had a big run. He was just boom, one after another.
Right.
I'm just unlucky in the way that I just always, when something ends and I have to, for a couple years, nothing happens.
Well, I mean,
right. And then it happens again.
Yeah. Right now, you're in a fantastic run right now.
Yeah.
You've got Splitting Up Together, which is on ABC. You have Love, which is on Netflix. You have Alone Together on Freeform.
That was just a. Guest starring. I don't even count that.
Okay.
And don't put any of the guest starring. Because guest starring, you're on at once, and, you know, they are writing another scene.
But. Okay. And and you have the aforementioned What Would Diplo Do?
Yeah. There was this year. That
and
was
you're
this
on
year.
That's My Gook coming out next fall on ABC.
Yeah.
And hopefully I get to still be in that.
Yeah, you're going to be great. You know what I mean? You're playing the fucking racist guy. And you're chopping people's heads off.
You play That's My...
Yeah.
Bobby plays the other guy.
Do you prefer to just come in for a guest star for a couple of days, or like what's...
You know, I for me, it's like
obviously being on a show and a regular is the best. But
you know, if can I be truthful to you?
Yeah, please.
Because you guys are friends, and I've known you guys for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. I think we've both seen your penis.
Everyone's seen my penis.
Yeah,
that's special. But
following That's My Gook, everyone's seen my penis. Yeah. And what network is this?
And if you haven't seen my penis, I'll just describe it to you. It really looks like a sick alien. If you ever see the movie E.T., when he's in the river.
If E.T. has
when he was in the river.
Yeah.
And he was gray, right? And he was about to die.
Yeah.
Like, if I pull it out, flowers die. The glow is gone. The glow's gone. All right? And it's a dreadful sight.
Oh, God.
It barely works.
Does it even eat Reese's
Pieces? It pees every once in a while, right? He loves Reese's, though. Loves Reese's. What was that we were even saying?
You said, can I be truthful with you?
Yeah. About being a guest star.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I want to be truthful with you. Truthful to all of you.
Yes.
Is just that there is a part of me that wants to hit the jackpot.
Okay.
And then?
It's because you see, it was done for Simon Helberg. People I know.
Mm-hmm.
They're talented. They deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Stone Street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are just like, we don't ever have to work again.
They don't.
I know they don't. But in my head, I'm like, well, that would be nice. But then I feel guilty because, you know, Ethiopians are starving. People are dying. You know what I mean? So you don't want to say that out loud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
what, that you would want to hit the jackpot for all your hard work?
That is true.
Yeah.
You fucking have
25 years in this town.
Yeah.
Struggling, I think.
And then you're ready for an ABC show run for 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, I've...
Getting naked in front of countless audiences across this great land of ours.
Yeah,
I mean, you
cleaned up, you stopped smoking, that's a good sign. I feel like that's also like, when you do things like that, those are good like omens for...
Why? It doesn't help anybody except for myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it puts your mind in a good place.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going in there as your best Bobby Lee.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, the show is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Tell us what it's about.
All right, it's Jenna Fischer and Oliver Hudson.
Yep, from Everything.
From Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know who his mom is?
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy. He just did my podcast. I love him.
Fuck yeah.
He's a friend of mine.
You've known him for a long time?
No, I met him on the show.
How quickly do you develop chemistry with people?
I try to do it as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell...
How do you do it? Because you're a big personality, so some people... Going to take warming up to, but I feel like...
No, I've been able to like control my personality and be able to figure it out in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Read people a little bit more.
Yeah, I read people more. I'm quiet when I need to be quiet. I sometimes subtly try to get in. With some people, you can still be loud. Like Oliver was pretty loud. I can...
Oh, cool.
Him and I just hit it off right away.
Awesome.
With Lindsay and Jennifer, they're both... females, very talented. They've been in the business for forever, and I want to be respectful. So you can't just walk up to them, fart on them. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's how Adam became friends with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, she did to me. So
yeah.
And so, I respected her mojo.
Marked her territory.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, you just try to get. Also, you've been on enough sets that you try to. But also with the comedy,
I'm still petrified.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a time, especially when I'm acting, where I'm like, oh, I feel comfortable. It's literally like, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, but that's probably one of the reasons why all your work is always so good, is because you're not, like you're never coasting, though.
You're trying to be magical like your people are. Your people are magical, and you're doing magical things.
Yeah, do you remember the first little person you ever met before Brad?
Yeah, there was another guy named, no, he wasn't Brad. His name was Ben.
Okay.
And I worked at a Panikin coffee shop.
You see how Brad's face changed, by the way? He was like, who the fuck is Ben? And I thought I was the only one in your
fuck?
Life.
Who the fuck? Who the fuck?
You get to only
is
know
this
one.
Other midget moving in on my Bobby?
So the ones that I've ever met.
Coming for you,
right?
Ben.
The little magical people that I've met right in my life. Is Ben had tattoos, like down to his wrist, back in the early 90s, which is pretty... You know,
it was a great time for tattoos.
Yeah, but it was also new too.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't see a lot of people. It was just starting to happen.
Right.
And Ben, I worked with at this coffee shop, and he always had the hottest chicks I've ever seen. Like, I saw him make out with this pop and a 9 at a bar, you know, and I was like, what the fuck? Like I was unfuckable. I couldn't get anybody. Like they wouldn't even look at me, women, right? And this little guy is like killing it.
That's my dude, Ben.
Yeah.
I like Ben now.
So then I'm like,
keeping it real for the people, Ben.
You know, I had to do morning shifts, and I did it with Ben, and we were like washing dishes one morning, and I just kind of look at him, and I go, how did you get so much pussy? And he goes, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Baba.
Yeah.
Ba-da-da-da.
He goes, I swing 100 times a day.
Wait, on the swing? Like on
no.
Swing?
He,
that's how he builds.
No, strength? He goes to the bat. He goes to bat and he swings.
They meant he swung on.
No. They do that, you know, in their dreams.
We do that.
Probably.
We do that in
magical.
Private.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got one above my bed.
Tafafet, the cookies are ready.
How do you think we get on the bed?
We
have to swing on the bed with the Tarzan that shit on the bed. It's either a Tarzan swing or we got that ramp that dachshunds use.
Yeah, but he was right though. I recalled him always like, but he was always trying.
You're always trying to make an attempt.
And he looked at me and he says, "I've never seen you try," which I hadn't.
Oh.
Right, and I learned a very valuable lesson from my little friend there, you know.
Well,
and then
we are very wise.
And then there was the second one that I met. I moved to LA. I lived in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of like skateboarders stay at our house. Mm-hmm. We had this apartment called the Dumpster. It was on Sanborn, and it was two apartments.
Yeah.
I mean, two rooms, but it was 16 people living there. My brother lived in my closet. It was fucking terrible in there. We had a 16-year-old runaway girl from the Beverly Hills mm-hmm. who was a meth addict, and she would clean our apartment with a toothbrush all night long.
Jesus.
We had a homeless man in there. It was crazy. But we also had skaters that would stay there.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Wee Man.
Oh, Jason.
Jason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was another one where I saw him get so many girls. And I just, and so to me, little people?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
There's no difference to me in my mind.
Yeah. Hell,
we
shot a pilot together where it was like you, me, and like eight other dwarves.
You and I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was a piece of shit, that thing. It was a fucking piece of
well,
shit.
Well, because there has to be a cap. There has to be a cap on how many dwarves are in your project.
How many were there?
Yeah. Like, oh, there was like 12 in this thing.
Whoa.
So like, if you have three dwarves in your project, it's awesome. But then it's the law of diminishing returns. You get 12 dwarves and it's like it's too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
From now on, you're the only dwarf.
Yeah.
That should be on your contract.
Yes.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one.
Unless Peter Dinklage is around. Then you and Peter.
Wait, so Jenna and Oliver play...
They play a couple with kids. You know, they're married and then they get a divorce. They're separating.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But because of finances... And because they, you know, don't want to ruin their kids' lives, they live in the same house. And they have a schedule. And I think it's really relatable. And it's cute.
Yeah. And
single camera.
It's single camera. And also, mm-hmm. you know, ABC didn't have any room on their lineups. They had picked up a bunch of shows, but Roseanne was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
American Idol was coming back.
Oh, wow.
And when we were shooting the pilot, it was kind of known that there was probably no room.
How does that change your mentality when you're shooting?
I didn't audition for it. So
that's awesome.
It was a freebie for me.
That's awesome. Wow.
So in my head, I'm like, I'm making this pilot money and I'm grateful, but.
Yeah. They just offered you the part?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You've gotten to that level, Bobby.
No, that wasn't, it was a fluke. I'll tell you that what it was is this. It's not. I'm not at that level. I don't know.
No.
No. This is what happened. This is what happened. I was on Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the directors from Love, mm-hmm. okay, left the show.
Okay.
Okay. To do this show.
Oh.
All right.
To direct it.
And to produce it.
Wow. Yeah. And they said,
and then so
we need a sexy Asian man.
What happened was this: is that Lindsay Price, the one that plays my wife, is Korean,
mm-hmm.
and they were looking at her, I guess, for the lead. Maybe at one point, she read and stuff, but then Jenna Fisher got involved, so they gave Lindsay this other part, and they were struggling in their minds: should it be a white husband or an Asian husband,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think they try to cast both. And during the process, they were just basically like, what about Bobby Lee? So they would call. And then that was this pilot season where I went, I'm not reading for anything.
Why?
Because the pilot season before that was the worst human experience of my life. I had some really just traumatic, bad auditions.
Mm-hmm.
To where, like, you couldn't...
Like, I literally went, you know what? I'm going to take a break this year.
Whoa. Like, you've just ate shit in the room?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Weren't prepared? Like, what is eating shit for Bobby Lee?
Oh, PTSD. Like, traumatic.
Trying to get laughs and not getting them?
No, like, completely blanking.
Oh.
In my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in a...
See, you're also so likable and can go off the cuff that I feel like you can salvage the situation, but I guess...
Here's what the problem with that is that... You know, I was always told, I don't know why it was ingrained in me not to improvise.
Yeah.
To mm-hmm. go by the script because I don't want to offend the writers.
Oh, it's backfired on me when I've done it, so that probably is the right move.
Yeah, so that's what I was told, not to do that because the writers won't
especially when they're in the room.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when sometimes I kill it. I've had great auditions where I'm like, oh my God, that was dead on.
Mm.
But then when it goes bad sometimes, it just goes bad. And So they kept calling me in. I just kept saying, nah. And then one day I was driving on the street and they go, you got the approval from the network and the studio and you got the part.
To do Splitting Up together.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then you couldn't say no. What? Yeah.
No, I read it. Then I read it. Okay. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I had a dinner. Then I did a table. It was fucking the best.
That's amazing.
How were those first table reads for a show?
Oh, wow. They were the worst because when I was driving to the first one, my agent called me and said, you can't fuck this up. This is your audition.
Oh, so you were like, and then that got in your head.
Right.
Because you already thought like, oh, I got the part.
You don't.
I'm going to go kill it.
You never have the part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so I'm now driving to the
Jin Se-yoon could have been waiting in the wings. Or whatever the fucking name. Yeah. What was it? No.
Yeah.
Park Tae-kwon.
Yeah, Park Tae-kwon. Yeah.
Who's the figure skater?
Yeah, yeah.
No, she was a swimmer. Fucking okay. Right. Yeah.
And I'm literally like shaking.
Yeah, of course.
And it's so funny because they did a smart thing. They go, we're going to do a pre-one before the network. Mm-hmm. And I got all my fucked up, like, you know what I mean? Just reading the lines wrong, all that stuff out of the way in that first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made all my mistakes. And then when I went into the network studio.
Then you did well.
I had to write on the shoulder of the script in big letters, slow down.
Right.
Yeah.
Slow down, because I read it like I'm like an auctioneer.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just, you know.
Get it?
Yeah. So slow down, just read it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all you do is read it, but you know what? People go, oh, that sounds easy. It's not.
No.
You've been there.
Yes.
You all been there.
Especially in a table read when there's just so many. I mean, it seems you can be as comfortable as you want to be, but like, you know, there's so many people just sitting behind you. Which is already kind of unsettling, right?
Yeah.
And okay, so you got all the mistakes out of the way, and then you crushed the...
I did pretty good in the tamer, and then we just shot the pilot, and then I literally thought, that's it. But then, and they said there's no slots, but then I did ADR, and I basically, the vibe was, it's testing so good.
Hmm.
And they tested a bunch of them, and they test so good. And the show was so good. So... You know, in my head, it's like, you know, the show's good. I read an Entertainment Weekly. I mean, it gave it a C+, but it said all the acting great.
Oh, good.
All the acting is great. Yep. So they didn't, you know what I mean?
Single you out.
Except for the gook. You know what I mean? You know, we should get Dr. Ken. Dr. Ken should, or whatever. They didn't say that. So in all the reviews, the cast is great.
Right.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And then we'll just see what happens.
And now when you're like doing these first reads, this show is produced by Ellen DeGeneres. Is she in the room?
No.
No, she's not? She's busy?
Well,
that helps to have her name on it, right?
Well, I know, but she does show up.
Cool.
But okay. She's like beyond everyone.
Yeah, she sits in a glass.
No, you just
cube.
See this lady and in wandering.
She
in
hovers
the bed.
Above you guys holding an umbrella like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, yeah. So I've never met her.
Really?
No. Maybe you will when the show's a hit.
I'm probably not. Yeah.
Cast will probably all go on her show.
I mean, I know Jenna and Oliver just did her show to promote it.
Yeah, I feel like once it...
But here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Bobby just stood.
Yeah, I stood up. Here's the fucking thing, man.
To make a point, he stood up. I love
but
that.
But here's the whole reason. The whole reason to be on a show,
mm-hmm.
I'm being real now, isn't the money, isn't the exposure or anything. Is to be on the billboard.
Yes.
Do you know why?
Why?
So you can get revenge on all the comics that don't like you.
Or said you couldn't do
and
it.
All the people that you're in competition with. Yeah, and the people that didn't help you, right?
And or said they wouldn't, didn't.
Yeah, and, you know, I want, you know, comics to drive by it that don't like me and go, fuck, right? And I'm not on the billboard.
Why aren't you on the billboard, Bobby?
Because it's about a family, so...
She was moving one of the cameras.
Yeah, so I'm not on it, but it's fine. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, but maybe in season two they make another
billboard. You know, I asked this. Yeah. I asked you because it's a Warner Brothers. You know the Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how you go on Barham?
Yeah.
So all the Warner Brothers show is on the side.
On
the sides, right?
Yeah.
All of them, right?
Yeah.
I beg them. I go, put me on that one if you guys put one on there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of comics
Everybody
go to Flappers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traffic there.
Yeah.
A lot of traffic, right?
IKEA.
I want to cause a lot of people pain. You know what I mean? I could rattle off some names.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I'm not going to.
Now,
but I have it in my head. I can tell you who they are.
It Bobby. Does matter, huh?
Bobby.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
What?
You buy your own damn billboard.
Yeah, but it's not. You can't
you
put the logos
Bobby
on.
Bobby Lee in. Stars in.
Yeah, but you can't put the. I don't think you can put the ABC stuff and all that stuff on.
Well,
there.
You don't say on ABC. You say on the
you
Disney
can't even
network.
Say the word of the thing.
You can't.
It's
say
all copyright written.
Splitting up together.
Now I have to get their approval.
Okay. Well,
so I can't just call them and go, "Hey, I'm investing my own money on a billboard." That's no one's ever done that.
Can you hang some posters that you made or like?
No, I want
like
cars
you're in
real
sixth grade
pain.
Running for president.
Like you know how I'm Dying Up Here had those gigantic. In New York.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's one with Eric Griffin.
Yeah.
On one building.
Yeah.
I think the fucking building fell down.
We love
you. He's so fat. He's a fat, ugly fuck.
We love you, Eric.
Oh, my God.
What? He's not?
No.
Let me ask you something right now. Eric Griffin's not a fat, ugly fuck.
He's a big dude.
And he's not for ugly.
Eric's a good guy.
I think he's charming.
He's done my podcast six times. I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
Is he not ugly? Your hand. Raise your hand if you think he's ugly.
I'm a midget. I can't say anyone's ugly.
What? Oh, my God. In the world of fucking cute and ugly,
yeah.
All right? You guys are polar opposites. You're the king of cute. He's the king of ugly.
Well, he has a very lovely girlfriend now who's very attractive. So he's doing well for himself.
He got his own billboard.
Yeah.
He doesn't even look human. He looks like Tim Burton drew him.
But that works. Like,
I don't know, man. I guess.
It got him on a billboard?
So, all right,
got an infectious smile.
Eric Griffin is handsome, is what you're saying.
Sure.
I think he knows
everyone's handsome. All right? Everyone on planet Earth is handsome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People that are deformed with googly eyes, you know what I mean?
He's not deformed.
No, I'm just saying, if that's your criteria of handsome, everyone's handsome.
Who would you want to play you in the Bobby Lee story?
Steven Yeun.
Who's that?
From Walking Dead?
Yeah. Watch it.
You don't know who Steven Yeun is?
He's the young, good-looking Asian guy that bangs the white girl.
Isn't he on a CSI show or something?
Oh my God.
Is he from
out way too much with Adam Devine.
No, I just
watch his movies and his Netflix fucking thing.
I don't watch enough TV. What shows?
Let me just tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you something right now, right? I want to tell you something right now, Adam.
Yeah.
It offends me that you don't know who Steven Yeun is. I'll tell you why. Because he's the first of our kind.
Zombie fighter?
No.
first Asian zombie fighter?
Funny. No. He's the first Korean American actor who has leading man potential.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he did a role in Steven in Walking Dead where they never mentioned that he was Asian at all in any level. He's just a guy. He really is a future Asian for Hollywood. He's handsome. You can buy that he will date a white chick, which they did, and no one really questioned it.
Well, I mean, it needed the apocalypse to happen where there was only like 7 girls available, but hey. It's a start.
Yeah, you're right.
There's only like 7 girls on the planet. They're like, all right, well, the Asian's got to be with one white girl.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a
but
start.
But 20 years ago, they had them fucking zombies.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? So it's at least it's a human.
Yeah.
That's growth right there.
Yeah. Steven is the Peter Dinklage of Koreans.
Yeah. I mean, did he do a lot for you?
I mean, not personally.
No, but it just for your.
Yeah. Because he's not. Because he's on a show where. And he's in various projects where he's not thought of as the.
But it's not.
The dwarf guy in the
but
movie.
But it's not that. I mean, even if you watch 3 Billboards.
Uh huh.
He's in it. There are mentions of him being a dwarf.
Sure.
Right? But why he's good is because he's so fucking talented.
Yes.
Like, you can see the level of talent is at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis level almost, right?
I mean, he can't do stand-up, but yeah, sure, Bobby.
Well, I mean, stand-up is a different thing. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, but my worst fear is that I wake up and I pick up Entertainment Weekly and says, Peter Dinklage says he wants to do stand-up, I'd be like, I'm fucked. I'm fucked.
No, he wouldn't be. No, because he wouldn't know.
Because if...
He wouldn't be able to just do
they
it.
They can't just do it, no. Dude.
Yeah.
Do you get offended when you see people just try to start stand-up, or do you... Are you encouraging of somebody that, like you were saying, like if Dinklage were to just go, oh, I'm going to try to do it now, would you be like, hey, everyone can try it, or would you go, no, you're not trying it for the right reasons?
Well, I mean, there's a guy named, there's a guy, I can't, I was going to say his name, I was going to call him out, but there's a guy at the Comedy Store who is angry that Jeremy Piven is doing stand-up.
Right.
And he's like, he's an actor, what is he doing here? And I looked at him and go, so if you ever got an acting job, you shouldn't do it?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no, I wouldn't want to do it. Then what's the difference?
Yeah.
They're two different mediums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both creative things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that.
Me neither.
You know what I mean? My problem is when they don't dedicate themselves to it.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, but even casual stand-ups...
And try to put the label
Casual stand-ups like John Mayer.
Yeah.
He goes up every once in a while. He'll go to the cellar or store or wherever and pop up.
Yeah. I don't even think he would say he's a stand-up, though.
But if you talk to him, he doesn't even call himself that. He's like, I'm just blessed that I'm able to do it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, no. I don't really feel... I mean, I got Michael Rosenbaum to do it.
Yeah?
You know, and it was a goof. I said, open for me in Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay. I couldn't believe he said that. And he did it.
Did you give him pointers, or you just kind of let him figure
it out? No, I just walked. He walked up there, and he just did it.
Wow.
How much time did he do?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
First time.
Solid.
And so, what do I care?
Some people can just have the ability to connect and not be fazed by an audience, and just... Obviously, like, timing and point of view and everything comes from years of doing it, but you think you can't just go up there and... I guess if you're being fearless, right? He probably also is like, what has he got to lose, right?
You know, at the end of the day, it's like people say stuff like, oh, I don't like them doing stand-up because of some sort of fear that they have that they're going to lose stage time or it's going to affect them in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like, I know that I'm good as a stand-up.
Yeah.
I'm a regular at every club. I headline all over the country. Brad and I, and you even now, I see you, you know, either before me or after me at clubs.
Yeah, that was cool in Arizona when you came by. And
yeah, it was amazing. So he was headlining, you know,
the
stand-up Phoenix, and I came and did a guest spot. My point, though, being is that we know how to do it. We put the time in. So I'm not threatened by anybody.
Yeah.
And let's suppose Steven Yeun, right, started doing stand-up.
Who? I'm joking. Sorry. Keep
going. And he was better than me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I better get better then.
Yeah. Well, that's
the right mentality.
So that's the thought that process. And also, Brad, you kill. I ask. You don't think for the years I've got, how does Brad do? Kill.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy. And I go, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
I ask about you too. How does he do? I ask about everybody on the road.
Well, because and also what you just talked about is one of the reasons why I love doing stand-up so much. It's because I tell people, like,
farted.
If you're...
Thank you. If you smell it.
I smell it.
Don't do a thing.
It smells like green tea.
Very fast for a little one.
Yoda was fast.
Yeah, it was fast.
Hello. Also, his fart smelled like green tea. Right. Very ironic.
Yeah.
But stand-up is the kind of thing where if you are funny, you will work.
Yeah.
It's not a thing of like, oh, if you have to be famous or you have to be on this one show or you have to. No. If you're funny, you'll work.
Dom Marrero always said that it's the one occupation in show business where you can't get fired.
Mm. Yeah.
You'll always be able to go up if you're good.
Yeah.
But those gigs, some of those gigs aren't that glamorous.
Right. I mean, yeah, you would say that, like, in the last year, Bill Cosby and Louis C.K. did things that are unforgivable or they're just horrible.
I would not put Bill Cosby and Louis C.K. in the same
boat. Me neither.
No, like, yeah, okay, but that being, they had bad PR. They had a bad year. Couple years.
Yeah.
So, but no matter how, okay, let's just go with Cosby then.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. Bill Cosby.
That's like being like yeah. OJ and the ShamWow guy. Both had a really tough year.
That's why.
Cleaning stuff up.
If Bill Cosby put his name on a comedy club
yeah.
and said, I'm headlining the Flappers in Burbank,
yeah,
he'd sell out.
Yeah. But it's the kind of sellout that I don't necessarily would want. It's curiosity.
They want to know, like, oh, yeah, is he going to talk about it?
There could be also people there to sabotage it.
Yeah. Sure.
Protests. So yeah. I wouldn't want that.
No, well, of course not.
But you're right.
Yeah, but he could do that and still sell tickets. And as crazy as that is, it's true.
It is true, yeah. And also, there are gigs out there that people aren't even aware of.
Yeah.
Like one-nighters or like there's even things that I used to do, like a week at Tahoe mm-hmm. or a week at Harrah's.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not the most glamorous of gigs, but they pay okay
yeah.
for the week. You're doing a lot of shows.
Trying to get reps, yeah.
But, you know, there are all kinds of gigs out there.
How does your mentality change now that you're on so many shows and about to be on a hit show, in my eyes, and you don't have to respond to that, but that's how I feel. But let's say, you know what I'm saying? Like, how does your approach change to the road? If you know more people are coming out from the show, does that make you want to
crush harder? Tiger Belly, my podcast Tiger Belly has doubled my audience.
Wow.
Nice. So Tiger Belly has saved my road career.
That's amazing, dude.
My show Sunday night was 90% Tiger Belly podcast listeners.
Holy That's awesome. Shit.
Well done.
So I don't know what I would have done without Tiger Belly. I feel like Tiger Belly helped everything.
What made you start that?
My girlfriend. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend, Kalila, saved my career.
Bless you.
Wow.
On every level. And that's it. My God. It's like in everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. For instance, okay, the show that I have now, right, because of love. But love was because of her, because when I got the appointment for Love, I wasn't going to go in.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not going to get it.
Even though you know it's a Judd Apatow thing?
Yeah, I still, in my head, I go negative. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get it. But since I met her, she goes, I'll give you a better example.
Yeah, okay.
When I met her, she's like, how come you just don't go on these auditions? And I go, I'm not going to get it. Mm-hmm. She goes, how do you know if you don't try? And I go, I tried before, okay? So she goes, you're a pussy, right? I go, don't bitch call me that, fucking Filipino island monkey, you. You fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
pineapple I do. Eater.
Yeah. Pineapple that used to be my nickname in elementary school.
Yeah, that's a compliment as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
And so I had this one that came down the pike. It was an NBC show. And she goes, you're reading for this. And I go, no. So all night long. So then I just go, oh, okay. And I was playing video games. I think it was when like Fallout 4 was coming out or something. And I was playing video games. So I didn't really work on it. Because mm-hmm. I was going to do a thing where I sleep in. And I sleep through the audition.
Shit.
I go, my alarm didn't go off.
Oh, and you kind of like
yeah, so I do this,
self-sabotage.
I do self-sabotage, yeah. Stuff like that. But this morning she woke me up. Mm-hmm. She's, I'm driving you there.
Whoa.
So we're in front of NBC, and I have the script in my hand, and I don't really barely even read it. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm going, I'm not going in there. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're a fucking pussy. It became a screaming fight outside of the car. Wow. Where we kind of got physical.
Those are my favorite fights.
Yeah,
it was not the physical part.
Yeah, but it was weird. Right? Like she was... And then
had you fought like this before?
No.
Yeah.
And then I go, all right, well, I'm going to go in and I'm going to read it off the page and I'm going to look like a fool.
Mm-hmm. And is that what you want?
Yeah, that's what you want. She, yeah, that's what I want, you pussy.
You better have a pineapple ready when I get out.
Yeah. I go in there, right? And there's a huge line. You know, you have to wait there for like an hour.
Yeah.
And I go in there. And I just read it off the page, right? And I crumple it up. I go, thank you. And I leave. Mm-hmm. I got it 2 hours later.
Oh, my God.
Well, that is...
And when I got the call...
Yeah.
Right? Well, no, I got a test.
Okay.
I didn't get it. But I couldn't believe, like, they're testing you and Reese Darby and somebody else. And when I got the call, you're testing. I look at Kalila, and she heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I told you. And she taught me a valuable lesson. You can't, you know. And then that Monday, I got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, and then you look back at what, at like you said, like you were fighting with her. In that moment, all she's telling you is that she believes in you.
I know. I know.
He's so wise.
And here's another thing. She goes, we should do a podcast. No, I'm too late, I said.
Yeah.
Everyone already started years ago. No one's going to listen. She goes, oh, I'm just going to do it on my own then. So she went to Guitar Center and bought all the equipment, mics, mm-hmm. everything.
Did she? Because she's, you know, fun and funny. Yeah.
No, because I paid for the mics.
Right, but I mean, what made her want? But what made her want
to
do it though?
She wanted to do one. She's like, if you don't want to do one, I want to do one with Asa Akira,
the porn star.
Yeah,
yeah. She does she know Asa Akira?
Yeah, we're like family. She's like my sister.
Okay.
This fucking guy.
I don't know
a lot of fucking people. Yeah. This little fucking guy.
I don't want to assume that all y'all know each other.
Yeah, I do know them.
Oh, okay.
In terms of showbiz, yeah. The Asians, I know pretty much all of them.
Well, because yeah, it's like the same thing with dwarves where we go on all the same auditions.
Well, then why did you even say that then?
I don't know.
All right.
So what do you guys?
So then she set it up, and then she started. She and also couldn't do it because she got a radio job mm-hmm. in New York. So she looked at me, she goes, I'll just do it on my own then.
Oh.
Like one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made you feel bad.
So she did a couple on her own. And I could hear her through the, you know, the spare room doing it.
And you felt bad?
I felt bad. So I go, you know, I'll try one with, I'll just do one. And then we did it. And then we did hundreds now.
And the studio, yeah. Is it in your place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have such a great spot.
It's like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. And then how quickly did you go, oh, people are listening?
Not right away, but...
But when you were doing Bobby Lee Talking, the YouTube videos, those would get like hundreds of thousands.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
They would?
Yes.
Oh.
Did you ever go back and watch any of them? They were so funny. At the end, you would draw something with your guests?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you had no idea. You would just record these, and then you were like, all right, we'll just...
No, we record them, and then I called Al Magical, and I go, will you be in All Things Comedy? He said, yeah, and then, you know, I started getting guests. We've had pretty good guests.
Yeah.
We had Jordan Peele.
Whoa.
Eric Stone Street.
Whoa.
It's amazing.
Like all the people, I just had Oliver Hudson on.
Yeah.
Do you like interviewing people?
I do. And it's fun to do people that don't normally do podcasts.
That's, yes.
Yeah.
That's the key. I really think that's a key.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, thanks for having me.
This is great. Well,
thanks for having me, but, you know, I've done all of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I don't feel special here.
Yeah, but also, but you wouldn't come back if you didn't think that we were going to all talk about different stuff. Everything we've talked about right now, we haven't
discussed. Of course,
but I hear what you're
saying. No, but what I'm saying is that we're old friends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I will do this anytime you ask me to do it. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that the special magic is not as special if I was Stephen Hawking. Now,
well, that
alive.
Well, that would be magical.
Yeah, yeah, that would be magical.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be Al Magical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a dream guest that you have that you want to get on now that you've like gotten?
Well, I think no, because because every guest that I get is like it's just a fluke because I can't call people.
Like if you ran into like Rosie O'Donnell at the airport and she was like Bobby Lee,
I don't know, dead on. Rosie?
Bobby.
You know what?
I love the new show. You know,
your Rosie is your Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if she, what if she was just like, "What are you up to?" And you were like, "Oh, I have my podcast."
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I didn't know Craig Ferguson lives right next door to me.
I did his
show mm-hmm. on Bronson.
Yes.
Yeah.
His house is unbelievable.
But, yeah, I do it a bunch of times. Awesome. I've done a bunch. So since he lives a block away, so he's gonna come over.
Oh my god!
But that's the only way I can do it. Like Jordan called me about something,
mm-hmm.
and then I had him on the phone. I go, you wouldn't mind doing my podcast, would you? Like, all, like, tentative like that. He's like, I'll fucking do it.
Wow.
But that's how it has to happen.
Yeah. You have to do it face-to-face or on the phone. You can't just, people are, there's
too many things.
You can't, like, send an email or a text or something like that.
You can. It's just, like, you got to.
Yeah. So funny, when I did NCIS, Eric Olson wouldn't stop talking about you.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's on NCIS, and I'm also developing a show with him.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Eric, you don't know Eric Olson?
He's a beach.
Do you ever see Dumb and Dumber when he was the younger ones?
Yeah.
He was Jim Carrey.
Oh, shit. Oh, that guy acts a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Eric, multimillionaire.
Wow.
The nicest guy in the world. I've known him for years. But Eric, as you know, when I did the last NCIS, he's like, you know Brad Williams? I go, yeah, of course. He's like, yeah, he's the best, man. We're doing something with him. I go, okay. And then like 20 minutes later, yeah, that bit he does about, it's like, shut the fuck up about that fucking guy. Shut the fuck up about that fucking little man. I'm tired of him.
Well, because we're talking about having you as a part, so, you know.
No. Are you being kidding? Are you kidding? You're just joking, right? That's a fucked up joke, dude.
I would love to have you on.
No. No, now I won't do it.
Pussy.
Oh, I will. Oh, bits.
We're doing bits, huh?
We do bits.
Hey, did you like going back to do Mad TV for a little bit? Or was that too weird?
You know, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I cried.
Really?
Yeah. There was like driving there. I wouldn't cry in front of you guys,
right.
But there were moments where I just kind of wept.
Wow.
You know, because, you know, there were still some of the old, you know, Scott King, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bruce,
people that I knew, right? That worked with before, Jim Wise. And, you know, seeing David Salzman and everybody. It was just so nostalgic. It's almost as if like you're going back to like, you know, a high school reunion or something,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Yeah, where
and,
it's like,
and that was a magical time in your life.
Yeah, Jen Espinal, the makeup artist, was still there, and it was also magical that you and Amir got it, because you two are people that I really like, and I've had relationships. I had a relationship before. And I wish that they would have done it right, and they would have done it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
they were trying to go streaming originally, and then
if they would have gone streaming,
yeah, we'd still be doing it.
You'd still be doing it, and I think you'd be edgy, and I think it would have been fucking amazing.
Well, I think it'd be better than SNL, because SNL. I even heard somebody just say, who writes on SNL, was saying that they were talking with Lauren, and how he was like, "Yeah, just the show. He doesn't feel like it's at its best because." They do feel like they're in a box, because there is the amount of critique that's coming from social media and stuff that they're paying too much attention to it. So they're kind of like, oh, we shouldn't go as far as we used to because we're going to get all that backlash.
Yeah.
But a show like Mad is like known for that. Also, if you're on a streaming
service
where it's more loose. Yeah.
And the sketch, some of the sketches, I'm farting like crazy. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But the sketch I did.
I'll move.
Like this, like working with Ike again was fucking awesome. Fun and epic. Doing the Kung Fu But Master with you was fucking weird. You know what I mean? Like I'm in the thing doing it. But then looking over at you and you're the guy is fucking surreal.
Yeah.
And just the whole thing was a blessing. And it made me really miss those days when I was, you know, because I did 8 years of what you did in that. How many weeks did you do?
Eight
weeks, right? Imagine 8 years of it.
Fuck.
And then you're doing it with the same people.
Hey, I did.
What does that mean?
I did. I imagine doing it for 8 years.
Oh, yeah. And so it was a huge part of my life. I learned everything about being on a TV show on Mad.
Yeah.
Hitting your mark, projecting, you know, when there's an audience, the whole thing. So it just lived and died.
It was cool that you guys, I mean, it made it way more fun to do it, and it boosted everybody's, you know, just confidence, because it was having you guys around, seeing you.
I mean, everyone came back. A lot of people, like, who came back?
Yeah,
Mo Nicole came Sullivan, back.
Yeah, Will,
Mo, Will, Alex Borstein,
Ike, yeah,
Ike, mm-hmm. Not Key and Peele though.
Deborah,
Key and Peele would have been amazing.
That would have been
yeah.
I'm sure they asked.
They were never going to do it.
No way. Well, so the show premieres tonight.
Yeah.
I'm very pumped.
Yeah, I mean, the show premieres tonight. And
who do you play on it again? We didn't get that far.
Oh.
You start setting up the premise of Oliver and Jenna.
CC, that's what they call me.
That's your character name?
Ching Chong. No, I play a guy named Arthur. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so they're in a divorce, separating. And I'm their best friend with my wife, Lindsay. So we're like their couple, you know.
But they stay living together, right?
Yeah, they still living together. And we come over and we hang out. And yeah, I'm the wacky neighbor.
And you're in, awesome.
Yeah.
You've never been there.
But you know,
have you?
But here's the crazy thing about the show too, mm-hmm. is that, and Eric Griffin saw a little bit of it.
That ugly piece of shit, that handsome man, Eric Griffin. So handsome
role model.
Yeah. That's, he looks like a walking pile of shit.
Damn near sexy. I would dare yeah, dare I say sexy.
Yeah, but sexy. Eric Griffin. If shit was sexy, yes. Yes. But Eric goes, dude, it's the best acting you've ever done. In fact, he's critical, man. And I love Eric. Eric is like a brother to me. Yeah. And if he's, I mean, I would probably be more devastated if my real brother died. Mm-hmm. But if Eric passed away or something happened, it would devastate me beyond repair.
Yeah. And
I love that fucking ugly piece of shit.
He's the first one to tell me to go see Beauty and the Beast in the theater.
Well, it's weird. That's the weird part of him.
He might die from being too sexy.
He might be that good looking. Yeah.
So
when I walked away from every episode, I was just like, I'm just not that funny in it, but I think I'm more acting in it.
Mm-hmm. So also because you're not getting any, there's no live audience.
No,
right?
It's not even that. Oh. It's just that the part that I'm playing, I'm just more sincere and I'm playing a character who's not what I'm used to playing. I'm used to playing like, you know, a loud Asian guy or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
Or, you know, or some weird thing that I have, or I'm playing real dumb or whatever, you know, but this character is just a regular guy. My scenes are just a lot of just dialogue and being an acting.
You get to be you, more or less.
And acting. Yeah. I'm acting.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a different light that people see me in.
I
think that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, and so now you're going to probably play more parts where you're that kind of guy.
I think I'm done.
Well, I'm very pumped. I know everybody is.
What are you doing now?
I just wrote like a bunch of really quick answer questions that I just want you to answer.
But did you just do that during the interview?
No.
You did it beforehand?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you know that I was going to show up or not?
I knew this morning. Yeah.
When you texted me.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a history of canceling?
You're super.
You do?
Yeah.
Not for us.
But I figured, you know,
there's a kinship there, guys. I still see it.
Hey, come on, man.
I see the chemistry between you two.
First one that took me on the road with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember when I met you in the Comedy Store and you saw me in the belly room and I was just coming around barely and I hadn't worked there and you were like, how come I haven't seen you before? And you're like, I don't know, I'm not here a lot. And you were like, I might have a college gig for you this weekend because I think Kevin Christie couldn't go to North Carolina. And then he could go, but then you were like, you walked me downstairs and you were like, could you follow me right now in the original room and crush for 20 minutes? And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I was like, please don't make me do that right now. And then you walked me in and to have me talk to Tommy, and Tommy was like, well, yeah, I've seen him around a little bit. You know, be around more. See? And then you were like, be around more. And then I was like, cool. Because I wasn't looking for a handout, and then I started working on
that. I have a lot of character defects, and I have a lot of things that I'm ashamed of in my life. I really do. I've done a lot of bad things.
Everybody does.
I know, but mine's worse than most. And I lie, and I have a lot of things that I do that are character defects. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I do is I help a lot of young guys out.
Fuck yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And I've helped a lot of guys, and I feel like those guys have never helped me in return.
What?
All right, first question.
Oh, God.
Cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen. That's how you're going to answer these questions.
Okay.
All right, first one. Do you prefer to fly or drive to a gig?
Fly.
Do you like wearing a beanie or a hat?
Beanie.
Korean spa with Pauly Shore or Sandy Danto?
Sandy Danto.
Why?
Because Pauly's penis is...
Oh, God.
No, it's misshapen. You know that, right?
What? No.
I didn't know
that. Oh, you never seen it?
Oh.
No.
Oh, my God. It's...
I'm not a 24-year-old woman on the road.
Yeah, I know.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah, no, yeah. But it's huge.
Cool.
It's got a knuckle on it.
Ugh.
And it twists. There's like a little twist. Like, it's backwards almost.
He has a corkscrew?
Yeah, because he used it so much, I think it just twisted it.
He has a pig... he has a pig's tail for a dick?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird looking.
Okay.
So that's why.
Yeah, so Sandy.
Yeah, because his is like a pudgy little clit. Sandy's Danto's dick is like a fat clit. Yuck. It's like a pig's nose.
Would you rather kill zombies or aliens in a video game?
Oh my God, this is so dumb.
All right.
Aliens.
Would you rather, what video game would you want to be in since you play so many?
Stardew Valley.
What?
Why?
What is that? Is that like Half Rim? I remember you got really excited.
What's a Half Rim?
I don't know.
What the fuck is a Half Rim?
That's what you get at a Korean whorehouse.
Wait, or Pacific Rim? What is it? One day I was at
your place. That's where my family's from.
$9 Half Rims.
No, I remember something. Half-Life? There's a game that you're obsessed with.
I never
with.
Played Half-Life.
Mr. Universe? What is it called?
Yeah, Mr. Universe. No. You fucking dummy.
No, it's like where you would walk around. I was at your place and you were like, I watched you play it for a while and you had to go collect things.
Destiny?
No, keep naming exploring games.
Destiny? Fallout?
No.
Skyrim.
That's what it is.
Skyrim?
Yeah, I remember when that first
came out. Oh, Rim.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Rim really stuck in his head.
Do you still play that?
No, Stardew Valley, I've been playing for the last 4 months every day for about 16 hours a day.
This is real, by the way.
It's a farming simulation game.
A farming simulation game?
Yeah, where it's a guy named Eric Baroni created it, and it looks like Zelda. It's like 80s graphics, and you just plant crops.
You can go to Bakersfield and do that for real.
No, but there's different things in it.
And then you plant the crops, you grow them, and then you sell them?
You sell crops, but then you upgrade your house, you get married, you have kids. You also fight, you go to mines, you mine, and you fight monsters down there. You fish, you try to catch legendary fish. It's a whole thing.
The legendary fish, like the pudgy clit?
yeah, pudgy clit.
Wait, what? Okay, so would you want to be in that video game?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather stand up in a comedy club or a theater? Would you rather have
theater?
Red Bull or coffee?
Coffee.
Would you rather follow Bill Burr or Joe Rogan? All right.
Ken Jeong. That's what he said.
Handshake or a high five? Handshake or a high five?
I'll do high five.
Okay, hot dog or Hollywood Nights? As your catchphrase.
Okay, hot dog?
Yeah.
Hollywood Nights.
Yeah.
You know Hollywood Nights.
Oh, yeah,
all day, all night.
All day, all night.
All night long.
I love you, Bobby.
So that's the end of the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did we do?
Hour 10?
About an hour 10.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
It's perfect. Is that Andrew Santino? Santino said he was going to come by.
I know. He's late.
Okay.
He'll come by next time. Thanks for doing this.
All right.
Watch
the show tonight.
Show's tonight. 8 p.m.?
Yeah.
Or 8:30 after
all 15 10. People that listen to this.
Fuck you.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night.
That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.